Today in the studio, we have a special guest, and I'd like to welcome well-known Canadian impresario, Mr. John Cripton, former Director General of the National Arts Centre in Ottawa, and co-producer of the provocative Requiem 9/11, based on Verdi's Requiem. So first of all, thank you very much for being with us on the show today, Mr. Cripton.
Great pleasure.
So you are in the studio today to talk about a project you are working on in Eden Mills. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, when you're between gigs, as I say, you look for things to do, and something emerged a couple of years ago that has grown into now a trilogy. Part one was a play called Dinner to Die For, which was a spoof on all those dinner murder mysteries that you see all around the place. But the play emerged out of characters developed by a small group of writers in Eden Mills. They call themselves the Eden Mills Calathumpians. And they wanted to put some flesh on the bones and asked if I would help to create the play, which we did, and it turned out to be quite a success. So there have been requests for a sequel, and we're just about to launch part two, which is called Vengeance to Die For.
Great. So could you just tell our listeners, for those who'd be interested in attending Mystery Theater, a little bit about the details of this play?
Well, this particular production this time centers around the town council of Eden Mills. Of course, there is no such thing, but in everybody's minds, it's rapidly growing. The council meets to elect their new mayor, and the audience, of course, is brought in as you would attend a town council meeting just about anywhere. There are relationships amongst these people. You have such a defrocked disc jockey who we call Jacques Disquet, and the mayor is Zelda Dotes, or Mersey Dotes for short. We have the local veterinarian, Dr. Samuel Spade, or Sam Spade, as we call him, and his wife, the famous Countess Katya Petipopov. Jane Eyre is the children's writer, of course, spelled E-double-R, and our French-Canadian resident is Pierre de Lune. I mean, all the characters have this kind of parody to them, and they're somehow interrelated. And what happens at this particular meeting, they, of course, give their speeches an attempt to be elected, and of course all kinds of things happen. There's music, there's even a murder that takes place. I won't tell anything about it, but and of course there's the eventual solving of the mystery. But the thing is all set so that an audience will come and have dinner and see this incredible parody, and of course enjoy themselves.
We should say that the play will be on May 28th and 29th
at the Eden Mills Community Hall in Eden Mills, and I think everyone in your circle knows where that is.
So that the cost is $32, including dinner and, of course, the production, and funds will be going to the Eden Mills Community Hall development. For information on tickets, you can call 519-856-2811. And tickets are available at
Eden Place, which is the one small retail outlet in Eden Mills.
Could you talk a little bit about how the script for this piece was developed?
Well, once I guess we established a premise, and out of this came the characters, and around the characters it was very, very easy to build. I can read you an excerpt from one of the characters, perhaps. Jane Eyre, who is the... Jane continues to spend a great time in therapy. In fact, she's added two more therapists to the seven that she already visits each week, and along with her awakening talents as an illustrator and writer, she's now discovered a dormant talent as an actress and a singer-songwriter. What could be next for this relentless dragon slayer of the banal, of course? She blames herself for Franklin Boyd Millwright's death. This comes from the first play. She said that she wished it so hard that it came true. What a surprise. While Millwright's death left her truly father figureless, it also gave her a surge of confidence in her psychic abilities. Was she to become the new Carrie? This, of course, has left her with more issues. She uses her newfound skills and her position on the town council to wash away the cascading guilt that sweeps her ever more into the oblivion of fantasy. That's typical of the type of description that we would give for each of the characters.
For the actors who will be taking on these different characters, where are they located out of?
They're all based in the Eden Mills community. These are all local people who are, some cases, lawyers or, once again, writers. There are no professional actors in the whole production, and they've just come together and devoted a lot of energy and time into getting down their part. And as the director, I'm finding that it's a great, great pleasure to work with people who are so committed.
To give a bit of a context for your work as a director, I would like to ask you about your company called Great World Artists Limited. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about that.
Well, I founded this company in 1980. Prior to that, I had worked with the Canada Council and established a touring circuit in Canada for Canadian artists, where before it had been just a very loose kind of situation, largely dominated by Columbia artists out of New York. So that what we were trying to do is recapture our own market for our own artists. And I was there for about 7 years, and we managed to actually make a great increase in the number of Canadian performers that were performing in small communities all across the country. At the same time, I was very much involved with the Department of External Affairs at that time, and sitting on committees to organize Canadian cultural exchange agreements with different countries. When I left the government in that year, 1980, I went into my own business and began practicing what I had been preaching, and that is creating tours of Canadian artists abroad and bringing foreign artists into Canada and doing all kinds of production work across the country. We got involved in everything from the first visit, for example, of the Alexandrov Red Army Choir to the United States, which a uniformed Russian military was never permitted to come into the States. And we managed to not only do that, but there is a scene that hit Time magazine of the first President Bush actually singing with the choir, which was kind of interesting in the context of what we see today. That plus I was involved largely in producing the Canadian participation in the various world's fairs, most notably the one in Tsukuba in Japan, in Brisbane, and in the one in Spain a few years ago, and the large one we held in Vancouver in 1986. During that time, they were looking for something to really make a splash, and the famous ballet company, the Kirov Company, had been unable to tour for 23 years as a result of the defection of Nureyev. I spent 2 years working on the Ministry of Culture to try to release them again, and we succeeded, and we were asked to organize a tour as part of it, which we did, and it turned out to be quite successful. And from that point on, for the next 10 years, I worked with them and represented them internationally, establishing markets here and there. And as a consequence, I was able to bring companies like the Royal Winnipeg Ballet into Russia, and the group from Montreal, the Les Ballets Jazz, and a number of other artists, both over there, and of course we brought other groups back. We did the same thing in the early years with China, bringing over the Peking Opera and the acrobats of Guangdong. And so it was a heady time. It was a wonderful time of visiting all these people, helping them put their performances together, and creating these exchanges, which, in fact, the first exchange with the Chinese took place in 1979. This is just after the Cultural Revolution, and we had the Shanghai Ballet come to Canada, and in exchange we brought the Toronto Symphony to various cities. And it was after that, of course, there was a whole slew of exchanges, but those first ones were the most memorable.
You were mentioning about the Winnipeg Ballet, and in a project of yours, the Requiem 9/11, the Royal Winnipeg Ballet performs. Can you talk a little bit about that project?
Well, this was a very special event that, of course, was generated largely by the events of September the 11th. What happened following that, of course, a number of artists throughout the world were profoundly affected by it, and one of those artists was Brian McDonald. He felt that he had to make a statement of some kind, and he didn't know how to do something that would be effective at first. And then he realized, of course, that there was already a work that was one of the more profound music pieces that had great success throughout the world. But he wanted to add a new element to it, and this was the Verdi Requiem, based on the Roman Catholic Mass for the Dead, which had never been choreographed before in its 135 years since it first was presented. He worked a choreography up in his mind. We worked on, came to me with the project, and together found sponsors and partners in the Banff Center for the Arts, for example, which helped us in donating all its services and its spaces for us to rehearse the work. And the National Arts Center, of course, they were prepared to have it the premiere, which took place in the early September of 2002, 1 year after the events of September 11th. The idea was to create an almost operatic production where every member of the cast was in costume, the dancers, the singers, the soloists, the choir, and we had Mario Bernardi conduct our orchestra in Ottawa, and the result was just astounding. The reaction, I mean, the audience didn't move for the whole performance. And since then, we've been trying to work out the next stage, which there's a strong interest from CBC to make a film of this, and we're working with them and the company Rhombus Media, of course, you know them for their various productions. They are working together to create a studio version of this that will be aired as part of Thursday night, the CBC's Thursday night series. And then we will do some more performances of it somewhere here in Ontario and hopefully internationally.
Yes, I wish I could have seen Requiem 9/11 at the National Arts Center. That would have been truly a moving experience. I wanted to ask you, now you're working on a community play in Eden Mills called A Vengeance to Die For. This play is going to be staged May 28th and 29th at the Eden Mills Hall.
Community Hall.
All proceeds from this production will be going to the Eden Mills Community Hall development. It's $32, including dinner and the production. Tickets are available at the Eden Mills gift shop, and the telephone number is 519-856-2811. I wanted to ask you something about being a director. Now, the community arts, generally, stories emerge out of a very local, specific experience. How does one, as a director, develop a story that attracts a wider general audience?
Well, first of all, working with community actors or community based people who have had little experience in acting, as I mentioned, it's given me a great deal of insight into the whole process of directing. This is certainly not the first time. Last year I directed a whole group of lawyers here in Guelph in the production of 12 Angry Jurors. When we put out the call for people to audition, we actually had 13 people show up, and of course the full cast of this play is 13 people, so the only choice I really had was to try to find a way of fitting people, each personality, into a particular role. And that's the approach I tend to take with community theater. I find people who have that particular personality that is required for the part, and then we build around that. In our play, we were able to even write according to the ability of characters to either act or sing or little quirks that they might have had that would appeal to an audience, as long as we exaggerated those quirks to a certain extent. And they all participated quite openly. They knew what we were trying to do, and it's working very well. I mean, I would choose to go that route anytime. In fact, we're already thinking of part three, which is Justice to Die For, which who knows when that will come along. But as I say, working with events that emerge from a local environment is the best of all, because there's an immediate attraction on the part of the community to that recognizes not only the performers but the situations. There are a number of projects like this going on. I think Dale Hamilton, also of Eden Mills, is putting together the Guelph play. She's had a lot of experience in working with the local community and allowing things to emerge out of the community. And as I say, the communities react very positively to this.
And back in, I believe it was 1991 or 1990, there was the Hermosa community play.
That's correct, exactly. It's exactly that. And some years ago, there was one on Eden Mills where not only did the local characters play the parts of historical figures, but many of them were actual ancestors of those figures, which is quite interesting.
I was interested to know if there is any kind of material that is considered sensitive and that emerges out of the community, and how one deals with that as a director. How do you negotiate with the community at large what material is going to be presented in the play and with the actors as well? What I'm trying to get at is that representation is always quite contentious between public and private selves. And I was wondering how, as a director, one deals with that. Is it a question of presenting it in a special way or not presenting it at all?
Well, in the case of... Let's take the case of Eden Mills. Some years ago, there was this controversy over whether or not to change the bridge in the city, which completely divided the community and left a lot of bad taste in the minds of people. What we're trying to do here is our first effort was to try to win back. In fact, we created a theater company called the Us and Them Theater Company, which is the Urban Singers and Theater Hams of Eden Mills, an acronym for that. But we also try to find issues that were not as contentious. Well, although, for example, currently there's an issue of whether or not to put speed bumps in the roads there, and so speed bumps does play a major role in our play, whether or not to install speed bumps or leave the existing potholes to serve as traffic calmers. And so once we get these issues on the table, every once in a while someone will quietly come by and say, I think you might want to moderate this here, a little bit here and a little bit there. Those who know the local situation more thoroughly than I do or more intimately. Generally speaking, though, because we're parodying everything and everybody, we get away with it. And the audience just ate it up last time, and I expect they're going to do it again this time, including the food.
Would you like to introduce the all the details on the play? Or I can keep doing it, but we could hear your voice as well.
Well, once again, the play is taking place this Friday and Saturday night at the Eden Mills Community Center. The audience, at 7 o'clock, the audience will arrive and be greeted by the various candidates for the new mayor of the city, of the community, who will most likely be trying to convince the audience to vote for them, because the audience, in fact, does get to vote. Not only do they vote for the mayor, but they will vote for the representative of Eden Mills in the next Canada Idol contest, which is something to see, since they have to perform. The audience then will sit and participate as if they're at a town hall meeting. In the middle of the meeting, the election will take place, and the audience will have a chance to have this wonderful dinner that the Eden Millers put on. I mean, they're very famous for their potluck dinners, and this is going to be a really quite gourmet potluck event. Following the dinner, the results of the election and other activities will take place from the stage, the And somewhere in all of this, a murder takes place. So they will be prepared for that. And the denouement, of course, with the grand finale. And all kinds of crazy things happen that are unexpected. But once again, the audience is asked to participate all the way through, which adds to the event. So this Friday and Saturday night, and I'm afraid there are not too many tickets left. So if you want a ticket, you best call 856-2811, which is Eden Place, the small gift shop in Eden Mills. And they're organizing the reservations at this time.
Mr. Kripton, thank you very much for coming in the studio today and telling us about your projects. I wish you the best of luck with all your endeavors and the play this weekend, Vengeance to Die For.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to an interview with John Kripton, who is director of Vengeance to Die For, a community play at Eden Mills. This May 28th and 29th, tickets are $32, including dinner and the production. Funds go to the Eden Mills Community Hall Development Project, and tickets can be called in at 856-2811. I'd like to thank Mr. Kripton for spending with us this afternoon. And this has been John, and you're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM.